Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Scarcity, the New Science of Having Less and How It Defines Our Lives is a behavioral science and economics book by Sendhil Malanathan and Eldar Shafir. It examines scarcity not only as a material condition such as too little money, time, or food, but also as a psychological state that changes how people think and decide. The book argues that when people feel pressed for resources, their attention narrows, their planning becomes less flexible, and short-term concerns crowd out longer-term priorities. Rather than treating poor judgment as a simple failure of discipline, the authors show how scarcity itself can produce predictable decision errors. Drawing on experiments and applied examples from poverty, time pressure, dieting, and organizational life, the book explains why the same mental patterns appear across very different forms of shortage. Its purpose is both explanatory and practical to help readers understand the hidden costs of having too little and to suggest ways institutions and individuals can reduce those costs. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, scarcity as a psychological condition, not just a material lack. The book's core move is to redefine scarcity as having less than you feel you need, which makes it broader than poverty alone. That definition matters because it shifts attention from income or possessions to the experience of shortage itself. Under this framework, scarcity can describe money shortages, time pressure, calorie restriction, loneliness, or even limited organizational slack. The authors argue that the mental state matters as much as the external condition, because people can behave as though they are trapped in shortage, even when the scarce resource differs. This makes the book useful across social classes and contexts, since busy professionals, indebted households, dieters, and overworked managers can all experience the same cognitive strain. By framing scarcity this way, the book avoids treating poor choices as isolated moral failures. Instead, it presents scarcity as a general human condition that alters judgment in systematic ways. That broader definition is what allows the book to connect seemingly unrelated problems under one analytical model. Secondly, tunneling shows how shortage narrows attention to the urgent. One of the book's most important mechanisms is tunneling, the tendency for scarcity to pull attention tightly toward the most immediate problem. When attention becomes dominated by an urgent lack, other responsibilities do not disappear, but they are pushed out of active awareness. The result is a short-term focus that can be adaptive in the moment yet damaging over time. For example, someone worried about rent may sacrifice preventive health, long-term savings, or administrative tasks that would matter later. Similarly, someone under time pressure may concentrate on the most visible deadline while neglecting less obvious but still important obligations. The authors use tunneling to explain why scarcity often produces decisions that look irrational from the outside but make sense within a constrained mental frame. The concept also helps connect personal habits to broader systems, because organizations under pressure can tunnel into firefighting mode and ignore structural problems. This is not just a metaphor, it is the book's central explanation for why scarcity distorts prioritization. Thirdly, the bandwidth tax explains why scarcity reduces cognitive capacity. The book argues that scarcity imposes a bandwidth tax, meaning it consumes the mental resources needed for memory, self-control, and flexible reasoning. This is one of the most distinctive contributions of the book because it translates hardship into a measurable cognitive burden rather than a vague stress effect. When people are preoccupied by shortage, part of their attention is constantly allocated to monitoring the problem, leaving less capacity for deliberation and planning. The authors use this idea to explain why people under pressure may forget tasks, miss deadlines, or rely on impulsive choices even when they know better. The bandwidth tax also helps reconcile why scarcity can affect behavior across very different domains. A person short on money, sleep, or time may all show similar reductions in executive control because the cognitive cost comes from managing lack itself. This framing is important because it changes the moral interpretation of behavior. Instead of assuming that poor outcomes arise from weak character, the book shows that scarcity can temporarily reduce the very mental tools people need to improve their situation. Fourthly, scarcity creates feedback loops that can keep people trapped. Another major theme is that scarcity is self-reinforcing. The book shows how physical shortage can create mental strain, and that mental strain then makes it harder to escape the original shortage. This feedback loop is especially important in the discussion of poverty, where lack of money leads to sharper focus on immediate bills and emergencies, which in turn weakens planning and increases the chance of additional setbacks. The same logic applies to time poverty, where a packed schedule leads to rushed decisions, which then create more delays and emergencies. The authors also note that scarcity can sometimes sharpen performance in the short run, but that benefit is fragile because it comes at the expense of broader functioning. This dual effect helps explain why people can appear highly productive in bursts while still remaining stuck. The feedback loop model is one reason the book is influential in policy discussions. It suggests that effective interventions should do more than increase resources on paper. They must also reduce the cognitive burden that keeps shortage reproducing itself. Without that, scarcity simply renews itself through poor timing, missed opportunities, and constrained judgment. Lastly, policy and personal planning must account for scarcity's hidden costs. The book is not only descriptive, it also has clear implications for how institutions and individuals should respond to shortage. A central lesson is that providing information or demanding better discipline is often insufficient if scarcity is already consuming bandwidth. In practice, this means that policies designed for poor households, overworked employees, or overloaded consumers should reduce friction, simplify decisions, and minimize the need for constant self-monitoring. The book also suggests that organizations should build slack into systems rather than assuming lean efficiency is always optimal, because too little margin can magnify failure when unexpected demands arise. On the personal level, readers are encouraged to notice how much of their attention is being spent on immediate pressure and to redesign routines so that important tasks are not constantly displaced by urgent ones. What makes this approach distinctive is that it treats attention as a scarce resource worth managing alongside money and time. The book therefore bridges behavioral economics and practical self-management without reducing complex social problems to simple advice. In conclusion, this is a valuable book for readers interested in behavioral economics, psychology, public policy, poverty research, and decision-making under pressure. It will be especially useful for people who work in social services, healthcare, education, management, or policy design, because it explains why scarcity often produces patterns that look like irresponsibility, but are actually predictable responses to constraint. General readers can also benefit from the book's framework for understanding why they procrastinate, overcommit, or lose track of long-term priorities when under stress. What makes it stand out from many books on poverty or productivity is its unifying argument: scarcity is not just a shortage of resources, but a force that reshapes attention and judgment across contexts. The book is more rigorous than popular self-help treatments and more accessible than many academic works, combining research with clear implications for everyday life. Its lasting value lies in showing that better decisions often require better environments, not merely stronger willpower. That perspective makes the book especially important for anyone trying to understand why people fall into repeated cycles of urgency, neglect, and missed opportunity. If you would like to support Sendhil Malanathan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.